spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's script is entitled, When I Think of Seraiah, and in its original form was an address delivered by Rabbi Milton Steinberg before a rally of the United Jewish Appeal. Now, we present Morton Wishengrad's radio adaptation of When I Think of Seraiah, and featuring Alexander Scourby as the narrator.
I have been thinking a great deal of late about Seraiah. What, you will ask, is Seraiah? Seraiah is a village situated in the Lithuanian county of Suvalki, just to the east of the old German frontier. And, to paraphrase Hamlet, and what is Seraiah to me or I to Seraiah? Seraiah, as it happens, is where my father was born. It's where my family comes from. These are the words of the 91st Psalm. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I say I've been thinking of Seraiah of late. I cannot think of all of Europe's Jews, the 6 million dead, the 1.5 million walking skeletons. I cannot think of them. Such numbers are too large for me to embrace. The anguish they represent too vast for my comprehension. And so I think of Seraiah instead. You also. You have a Seraiah. Was your Seraiah in England? Was it in Hungary or France or the Netherlands? Was it Poland or Italy? Or Germany? Yes, you too. You have a Seraiah. It is the place of your origin, of your father's origin, of your grandfather's. It's the place from which your distant forebears set out for the New World. Let me then speak to you of Seraiah and do you, as I speak, translate its equivalent into your own life. I say to you, lay hold of the agony of Europe today, because it is your agony. Make real for yourself the largest tragedy in all recorded time, because it is your tragedy. I never saw Seraiah. I was born in America. And yet, never having seen it, I know Seraiah. I know it from the stories of my father. I know it from the kind of people it produced. I know that it was poor and that it was small, and that what it lacked in size, it made up for in poverty.
What is for supper today?
Black bread and herring brine.
What is for supper tomorrow?
Black bread and herring brine.
And what is for the day after?
Black bread and herring brine.
Oh, yes, Saraya was poor. Its houses were ramshackle, its streets unpaved. It had its limitations, Saraya did. But it had its virtues also.
Little boy, little boy, sing this way. Learn the alphabet, little boy, little boy. Here are the letters. Sing this way. Comets Aleph O, Comets Beis Bo, Comets Daled Do.
There were schools in Saraya, and there was learning. And reverence for learning. Bread might be scarce there, but not books. That village of near beggars supported a system of universal schooling. When I think of Saraya, I think of that. What is more, the townspeople, as befitted disciples of the prophets and rabbinic sages, had a sense of justice. A sense of justice so keen that according to an ancient practice, anyone who had been wronged was entitled to interrupt the public worship.
Brothers, I ask for a suspension of the service.
What is your reason?
Wages are claimed by my employees. I believe that full payment has been made and that they injure my good name by their assertion.
State your grievance. The service will be resumed later.
And until the inequity had been righted and justice done, the congregation held the service suspended. That was according to ancient practice. When I think of Saraya, I think of that. And it was a merciful place. The poorest of Saraya, even those who themselves lived on alms, gave something regularly for sweet charity's sake.
Reb Meyer, my half penny for the Passover fund.
And this philanthropy was not merely formal. It sprang rather from spontaneous compassion, from...
Tzar Bale Chaim, the pain of all living things. Tzar Bale Chaim. Do you understand that? The pain of all living things. That is why I give.
When I think of Saraya, I think of that. And all of that now, all of that is gone. For now the Jewish part of Saraya is wiped out, expunged. Saraya is no more. The old, old synagogue where my ancestors for uncounted generations worshipped God, it is gone. The academy where my father studied is gone. The books Saraya composed and treasured, for which it dreamed and scrimped and saved, gone into ashes. Even the cemetery where my forefathers sleep, gone. And as for its Jews, men, women, children, some saints, some sinners, some learned and some untutored, some wise and some foolish, but all eager to live, all undeserving of the fate which overtook them. I do not want to think of them. Especially, I do not want to think of how most of them were done to death. The words of the 91st Psalm. O thou that dwellest in the covert of the Most High and abidest in the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord. Tell me, what shall I say of the Lord? And what shall I say to him? I ask you, what shall I say and think and remember? I tell you again, I do not want to think of the Jews of Syria. I do not want to think of how most of them were done to death. Yet think of them I must. For some of those Jews still live. How many? I don't know. No one knows. Perhaps no one ever will know. But there are probabilities and presumptions on which one can calculate.
In Syria before the war, there were 2,000 Jews in all.
We have learned, however, that the Jews in small towns fared much worse than those in the cities. They were much more easily detected and apprehended.
Their opportunities for concealment were fewer.
Let us, however, be optimists. Let us say that of the 2,000 Jews in Syria, as many as 20 came through alive.
Those 20 Jews haunt me. In the first place, I cannot figure out why they are they and I am I. Through what merit of mine am I safe, secure, light in heart whenever I watch my wife going about her household duties or hear my children laugh as they play? And what was their offense that the 20 who survive are cold now and naked now and hungry now and haunted by horror? I simply cannot puzzle out what sin they committed so horrible as to merit the torments meted out to them. To look on while one's wife disappears into a death train or a gas chamber. To see one's children spitted on bayonets. Or to ponder their slow starvation. Their bellies waxing great with bloatedness. Their arms and legs turning matchstick thin. Their bodies growing feeble with lassitude. Until life and death can no longer be told apart. This is what haunts me. The thought that there, but for the grace of God and a capricious decision made by my father, but in any case through no virtue of mine, there go I. There my wife. There my children.
Mizamor ledovid Adoshem Rom.
Mizmor ledavid, a psalm of David. Allow him to sing the 23rd psalm. Allow the words for my morbid vagary. For when I think of Syria, I reflect that of the 20 who may survive, perhaps some of them may be my own remote kin. Who knows? Perhaps they bear the names common in my family. The Samuel to which my father answers. The Shraga or Philip of one of my American cousins. The Jonathan of my son. What is more, being kin to me, they may actually resemble the members of my family. Perhaps one of them is short, limpid-eyed, and gentle like my father. Perhaps there's a little girl, fair-haired and as blue-eyed and delicate as my Aunt Sarah was said to have been in her childhood, as her little American granddaughter Alice is today. That is why these Jews haunt me. I know them. I know their lot. After all, are they not flesh of my flesh and blood of my blood? Twenty out of 2,000 are still alive. If a word so suggestive of joy, vigor, and hope can be applied to human wreckage.
20 out of 2,000.
A few are in Salzburg in the American zone of occupation.
Several in Bergen-Belsen in the British zone.
One or two are in Italy.
One or two are in France.
One is in Siberia.
And one has even found his way to Shanghai.
And only yesterday, a strange wonder occurred. Two Jews of Syria, wandering the streets of the internment camp at Theresienstadt, unexpectedly came face to face.
Merciful God, are you still alive? Why are you crying? I know. A familiar face. You are my familiar face, and I am yours.
But the dispersion of the townspeople of Seraya is the least of their ruin. Not one of them is sound in body. The starvation that wasted their frames, the torture that ulcerated their stomachs, the terror that poisoned their kidneys and hardened the arteries of their brain and heart, that rotted the teeth out of their mouths, these are still upon them. Go and see. See the 6-year-old incapable of walking, the 10-year-old a baby in structure. Nor is any of them rosy-cheeked, unless it be with a flush of consumption. Only one or two of them are actually insane. But every one of them is at least touched with madness. And some cannot sleep for the terrors that come in dreams by night. Not one of them has a single garment beyond the rags on his back, the broken shoes and burlap wrappings on his feet.
What possessions do you carry?
Nothing.
Do you have a scarf, a coin, a watch, a fountain pen? Do you have anything?
Nothing.
Have you a home?
No.
A shop?
No.
Do you have a newspaper to read?
No home, no shop, no newspaper to read, no prayer book from which to worship God, no calendar to tell which days are the Sabbaths and which are the holy days, no synagogue in which to pray.
Mention anything pertaining to life and the graces of life, and they do not have it. When I think of Seraya, I think of that. Of the 20 survivors of Seraya, 3 want to go back.
You can't stay in an internment camp forever.
I don't know. Perhaps in Seraya. Perhaps I'll find my mother or my uncle or one of my cousins.
I had a little shop. Maybe it still stands. I don't want charity. Maybe my shop still stands.
In Seraya, there are still things to do, aren't there? Maybe I have to go back in order to be a reminder of something. Maybe they'll make them ashamed. Maybe they will remember. Never help to do it again. Because, you know, they did help.
Besides, Soraya's home.
And so they are on the move again. A tottering old woman from Switzerland. A man from Lublin. A girl from a camp in Germany. Half labor camp and half brothel. And who will maintain them on the way? Who will give them provender and protection from Polish anti-Semites whom the Polish government has admittedly been unable to suppress? And Lithuanian anti-Semites whom not even the Soviet army has brought to heel? Who? And in Seraya, when they find home gone, shop gone, books, tools, friends, brothers, family, synagogue, all gone, and not 10 Jews left to form the minyan of the prayer service, who will stand with them? Of Seraya's Jews, 17 will not go back to Seraya. They have their reason.
There is nothing that remains. I cannot return to nothing.
My neighbors joined with the Nazis against me. I cannot return to my neighbors.
I cannot return to Seraya because the streets cry aloud of murder and rape and torture.
I won't go back. I'm tired of defending myself. Tired of apologizing for myself. I can't go back.
I can't either. I'm still a boy. Maybe there's a chance for me. A chance to lead a normal life. It isn't in Seraya.
Of these 17, 3 have set their hearts on America. But only one will be so fortunate as to be admitted here. But one will come. And for that one, you must be prepared. When I think of Seraya, I think of that one.
There is a humor even on the gallows. So let us have our joke. Perhaps one of the 17 entered the office of a travel bureau and asked for a steamship ticket. It's a normal thing to enter a travel bureau and ask for a ticket.
A ticket for where?
I wish I could answer. What's that?
That's a globe of the whole world. Take a look at it. Spin it around. Make your choice. Well, have you found what you want?
A moment more, please. I'm studying the countries and the continents.
Well, my friend?
I hope you'll excuse me, sir, but have you anything else to offer?
Yes, have you anything else to offer? But 14 out of the 20 do not ask the question. They will go to one place only, to the land of their fathers, the place where refuge was promised to them by the nations of the world, to the land of Israel, the Jewish homeland, Eretz Yisrael. Some will go because there is literally no other place on earth for them. Others will go because Palestine is the only place where they are really wanted. Others will go because of the dream. Zion reborn in the land where Judaism is incarnated. Observe, I do not say that they want to go to Palestine. I say they are going to Palestine. They will go because they must go. Because the alternative is slow death. Because the right will not be forever denied. They will get through because they are going home. And they will know what it means to be wanted and to be welcome.
Thank you very much. I've said the night prayer. May I go to sleep?
Are you sure you're quite ready?
I think so. See, I folded my dress very carefully. I can sleep on it. It's a good pillow.
But you mustn't sleep on the floor.
I always sleep on the floor.
Little girl, who sleeps in the bed if you sleep on the floor?
I don't think anyone told you. The bed? Why, the bed is for God.
Bannu, bannu, arts, I live not to live not. Bannu, bannu, arts, I live not to live not.
When they arrive in Palestine, you and I, we shall be able to rest more easily. For they will be welcome and wanted and greeted with the song, Anu Banu Arza. We have come to our land to build and to be rebuilt, to redeem and to be redeemed through her. They will know what it means to be cleansed of terror. And once again, they will retrieve their souls from pauperism and find honesty and normalcy and the blessed wonders of the commonplace. When I think of Seraya, I think of that. Such are my thoughts of Seraya. Sometimes when I think of Seraya, I am ashamed to be a human being. Ashamed to be a member of the species which could perpetrate the evil done. And almost as much ashamed of the good people of the world who stood by for so long and who stand idle now looking into facts that are matters of common knowledge while lives 9/10 destroyed are altogether destroyed. Sometimes when I think of Seraya, I want to hurl hard words at God. That terrible saying of Abraham, shall the judge of the whole earth not do justice? Sometimes when I think of Seraya, I think of the soul searing of the prophet. Thou, too pure of eyes to behold evil. Thou that canst not look on oppression. Wherefore hast thou looked on when men did treachery, and did hold thy peace when the wicked swallowed up the righteous? Sometimes I want to slip into some synagogue and say Kaddish, the prayer for the dead. Not the familiar Kaddish, but the saints' Kaddish.
I want to stand up and cry over Seraya, over its dead, over its handful of living.
Viskadal viskadashime ravo, biolemod huasitli eschadito.
Magnified and sanctified be God's great name in the world which he is to create anew, in which the dead will live and life be eternal, and Jerusalem be rebuilt and its shrine restored. Such are my thoughts of Seraya. For those who return, for those who come to America, for those who go to Palestine, at no moment, if I can help it, will they lack for food, clothing, shelter, medical care, or in the things that minister to the spirit. The hope of Seraya is in the United Jewish Appeal. Yes, it is physically possible for you and for me to behave like the beasts, but we will not look comfortably into our mirrors or ever think happily of the God who made us, who singled us out for good fortune and bestowed on us so many merits which we deserved so little. Seraya looks to us for deliverance through the United Jewish Appeal. Deliverance speedy and full. Almighty God, exalt me. Make me to remember the dead and the living. Make me worthy to be fashioned in human form. Make me worthy to be fashioned in human form. Make me will to fight, and make me will to give. To fight until justice is accomplished, to give until mercy is done. These are my thoughts of Seraya. Let them also be yours. For your Seraya, and for mine.
Our script today was based upon an address delivered by Rabbi Milton Steinberg of the Park Avenue Synagogue and published in the Reconstructionist magazine. It was adapted for radio by Morton Wishengrad. If you would like a free copy of When I Think of Seraya, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the soloist, and featured as our narrator was Alexander Scourby. The entire production is under the direction of Frank Papp. This program was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and came to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. A free copy of today's script may be obtained by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.